بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، معاشر الإخوة، حياكم الله في هذا اللقاء الطيب المبارك الذي أسأل الله عز وجل أن يكتب فيه الخير والنفع والفائدة للجميع.
In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the one who bestows mercy. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah, and may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family, and all of his companions. Well, after that, O brothers, welcome to this gathering, this good, blessed gathering. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to write for all of us benefit and guidance in this gathering.
وَمِنْ نِعْمَةِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ عَلَيْنَا أَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يُعِينُنَا عَلَى ذِكْرِهِ وَشُكْرِهِ.
And from the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us is that He helps us to remember Him and He helps us to show thanks to Him. And the greatest form of help aiding us to remember Allah are the gatherings of knowledge.
والعلم من أعظم القرب التي يتقرب بها إلى الله عز وجل.
And knowledge is from the greatest actions by which a person can worship and seek closeness to Allah.
وإن كان هناك ما نتذاكر فيه نحن جميعا فإننا سوف نتكلم بإذن الله عز وجل عن العلم وأهمية العلم.
And if or what we're going to speak about is knowledge and the importance of seeking knowledge.
وأنا أرى أن الجمع هنا إن شاء الله كلهم على خير.
And I consider everybody who is congregated here today to be upon goodness.
وعليهم ظاهر الصلاح.
And we can see signs and indicators of goodness and rectification and righteousness.
وخاصة في مثل هذا المركز الطيب.
And especially in a good institute like this.
الذي له جهوده المشهورة المنشورة.
Which has its famous known efforts, which are widespread. We know of these efforts. So I admonish and counsel my brothers with certain things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala perhaps He will accept and they will be benefiting them. Allah Azza wa Jal, when He revealed the religion upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam,
هذا الدين محفوظ.
This religion which He revealed is protected and preserved.
يقول الله تعالى عن أصله وعن مصدره وهو القرآن الكريم إنا نحن نزلنا الذكر وإنا له لحافظون.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the source of the religion, the core of the religion, i.e. the Quran, that we are the ones who have revealed the remembrance and we are the ones who will protect and guard it. So if Allah is going to protect, guard and preserve the Quran, then He will also guard and protect the religion. Your religion is not weak. Your religion is not something which is easy. Rather, your religion is a religion of strength, a strong religion.
دين عزيز.
A magnificent, great religion.
بعث الله به محمد عليه الصلاة والسلام لكي يبقى هذا الدين في الأرض.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He sent Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with this religion so that this religion remains upon this earth.
فالدين كله محفوظ بإذن الله عز وجل.
So the religion, all of it, is protected, guarded and preserved with the permission of Allah عز وجل.
وقد أخبر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن طائفة لا تزال على الحق ظاهرة منصورة.
And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he informed us of a group of people, a particular group who will always remain upon the earth, who will always remain upon the truth, apparent upon the truth.
إلى قيام الساعة.
And they will remain upon the truth until يوم القيامة.
ما هذا؟
What is this?
هذا من شريعة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم.
So even this is from the Sharia of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم.
محفوظ أنه من شرع الله 1400 سنة.
Look, for 1,400 years, this has been preserved, that this is from the Sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
فربنا عز وجل الذي حفظ شرعية السواك.
So our Lord, who has protected the legislation of the Miswak, he will protect for us al-Tawheed. And he will protect for us the Sunnah. And he will protect for us the prayer. Because Islam, it is strong. And it will always be aided. But one question remains. Who is the one who is going to carry the religion of Islam? Who is the one who is going to aid and give victory to the religion of Islam? So Islam will not gain victory except through those who are going to give it victory. Allah the Most High said, Allah the Most High said, if you support Allah, then Allah will support you. If you want for Islam to be victorious, if you want for Islam to be aided, then you have to aid Islam. Because Islam will be aided and victorious due to those people who are aiding it. And Islam will gain ascendancy by those people who give it ascendancy. So therefore, Islam is in need of the hearts of men. So whoever carries Islam, then Islam will carry that person. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he raised Islam and therefore Islam raised him. Did we ever know about Abu Bakr without Islam? Did we know that he was a doctor? An engineer? He was a player? We never knew any of this. But Allah raised his remembrance because of Islam. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has raised the remembrance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam due to Islam. Allah said, we have raised for you, O Muhammad, your remembrance. Go through history. You will find that the most famous of people, we know them only because they have aided and served Islam. We know of the great imams of fiqh. We know of the imams of tafsir. The imams of hadith. The imams of the sunnah. Due to what? Only due to Islam. Because they were the ones who raised the remembrance of Allah. So if we raise the remembrance of Allah, then Allah will raise our remembrance. وَكُلَّمَا كُنَّا أَقْرَبْ إِلَى سُنَّةِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ سَوْفَ يَرْفَعُ اللَّهُ ذِكْرَنَا. And every time, in every situation that we are closer to the sunnah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, Allah will raise us higher and higher.
لِأَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَرْفُوعُ الذِّكْرِ.
Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, his remembrance is high. Because Allah said regarding him, we have raised your mention. Every time a student of knowledge, every time a scholar is closer to the Prophet, meaning closer to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then his mention will gain ascendancy. And for this reason, the victorious group, who are the victorious group? And who are the saved sect? What did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say regarding them? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said regarding the firqatul najiyah, the saved sect. And he said regarding the Ta'ifatul Mansura, regarding the victorious group, he said, they are those who are upon that which I am upon today and my ashab, my companions. So the victorious group are those who are closest to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his mention is high. What did the Prophet say about the victorious group? He said, "Al-Zahiratan," they will always be apparent. Meaning, it is always superior. And he said, "Mansura," they have been given victory.
Allah,
the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, regarding the victorious group, He didn't say that they will be given victory, or he didn't say that they will earn victory. They will strive for victory. No, because he said they are victorious, meaning that the victory is with them from Allah and from the aid of Allah.
فالطائفة المنصورة منتصرة لأن الله تعالى أيدها بالنصر.
The victorious group is already victorious because Allah will help them with His victory.
لأنها نصرت الله.
Why? Because they aided Allah.
ولذلك وصفها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بأنها ظاهرة وأنها منصورة.
And for this reason, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said that the victorious group is ظاهرة. It is superior, it gains ascendancy, and it is victorious.
لا ننظر للكثرة والقلة.
We don't consider how many or how less.
وإنما ننظر لموافقة الحق.
But we only consider who agrees with the truth.
وصاحب الحق دائما أعلى.
And the person who agrees with the truth is always superior.
ألم أقول لكم بأن الله رفع ذكر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم؟
Did I not say to you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has raised the mention of the Prophet?
حتى أهل السنة.
Even Ahl al-Sunnah, the people of the Sunnah, the people of Iman.
Allah Ta'ala قال,
Allah the Most High said,
وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَنْتُمْ الْأَعْلَوْنَ.
Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala said regarding the people of Iman, He said regarding the people of Islam, do not worry and do not be anxious because you are al-A'lam. You are the ones who have superiority.
فَصَاحِبُ الْحَقِّ دَائِمًا أَعْلَى.
So the companion of the truth, the person of the truth, he is the one who is always superior. Because the truth gains ascendancy and nothing gains ascendancy over the truth.
وحضور قوة فرعون وموسى شخص واحد. ماذا قال الله تعالى؟ قلنا لا تخف إنك أنت الأعلى.
And in the story of Musa alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam was a single person, and he was in the fortress or the castle of the Pharaoh, and the Pharaoh was there. The ministers of the Pharaoh were there. The strength and the authority of the Pharaoh was there. And Musa alayhi salam is a single person in the fortress of Pharaoh with his ministers and with the authority of Pharaoh. And yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, what did he say? He said, do not be scared, O Musa, you are the one who is superior. And therefore we have to aid the religion of Allah azza wa
jalla.
And we have to give it victory. How is victory given to Islam? By many different ways and avenues. And the scholars, they have spoken about or they have mentioned different things by which we can give victory and aid to the religion of Islam. And I will combine the avenues or the ways to aid the religion in four things, in four matters.
سميتها الأربع عينات. عين 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 حرف العين حرف العين.
And these four matters, I've called them the four عينs. The letter عين, I call these four things the four عينs.
عين الأولى عين العلم.
The first عين is the عين of علم, knowledge.
العين الثانية عين العمل.
And the second عين is the عين of عمل, actions.
العين الثالثة عين العدل.
And the third عين is the عين of عدل, justice and justice.
العين الرابعة عين العقل.
And the fourth عين is the عين of عقل, intelligence.
الأولى العين العلم.
So the first عين by which we can give victory and aid the religion of Islam is علم, is knowledge.
الإيمان علم.
Because Iman, it is knowledge.
والسنة علم.
And the Sunnah is knowledge.
والإسلام علم.
And Islam is knowledge.
ديننا دين العلم.
Our religion is a religion of knowledge.
الجاهل لن يستطيع أن ينصر الإسلام.
The jahil, the ignorant person, will never be able to aid and give victory to Islam.
فإن لم يكن معك علم.
So if you do not have knowledge with you,
كتاب وسنة.
The book and the Sunnah.
ومنهج السلف الصالح.
And the manhaj of the righteous generations who came before us.
لن تنتصر.
then you will never be able to gain victory.
Musa alayhi salam قال إنك أنت الأعلى بماذا؟ بما معه من العلم.
Musa alayhi salam, Allah said to him that you are the one who will be superior due to what? What's due to the knowledge which he had with him.
والقرآن علم.
And the Quran is knowledge.
بعد ما جاءك من العلم.
Like Allah said, after which knowledge has come to you, either Quran.
فإذا إذا أردنا أن ننصر الإسلام لا بد أن نطلب العلم.
And therefore, if we want to aid and give victory to Islam, we have to seek knowledge.
من الكتاب.
The book.
من السنة.
The Sunnah of the Prophet.
من آثار السلف الصالح.
The narrations of the companions of the Salaf.
بالطريقة الصحيحة.
According to the methodology and the way which is correct.
كلنا يحب العلم.
All of us, we love knowledge.
لكن ربما ليس الجميع هو الذي يحصل أو يحصل على العلم.
But perhaps not everybody is able to gain knowledge.
هناك شباب يجتهدون يريدون العلم.
There are youth amongst us who want knowledge. They try hard for knowledge. They strive for knowledge.
وربما يحضر الدروس.
And maybe he even comes and he attends the lessons.
وربما يسمع الدروس.
And maybe he listens to the lessons.
ويشتري الكتب.
And he buys the books.
ما أتى العلم.
But knowledge did not come to him. Why? Because there is some deficiency somewhere. So therefore you have to seek knowledge in the correct way, in the correct methodology. Because there are some people who want to seek knowledge through avenues which are not correct. And the scholars have explained the correct way of seeking knowledge. And they have authored books explaining how to properly seek knowledge. Before you start seeking knowledge, then investigate and find out the books of the scholars which teach you how to seek knowledge. What should I learn? What should I read? Who should I study with? How do I read? How do I write? Which branch of knowledge should I study first and which branch of knowledge comes later on? How do I revise knowledge? How do I teach other people? These questions, and there are many other questions. You will not be able to seek knowledge unless you know the answers to these questions. If we were to buy some equipment like the fan, and I gave this air conditioning or this fan to you, and you don't know, and I said to you, install it or get it working, you start playing with it, and maybe you'll end up corrupting or spoiling or damaging the equipment. Or maybe you'll take 1, 2, or 3 days and you still don't know how it works. Is this a way which is correct or incorrect? The answer?
ما هي الطريقة السليمة؟
So therefore, what is the correct way?
أخذ الكتاب الذي معه كتالوج أو ماذا يسمى هذا النموذج؟
The manual. You have to take the manual. This is the correct way.
المانيول الذي معه.
Take the manual.
ويخبرني بالطريقة.
And the manual is going to teach me of the way.
افعل كذا، افعل كذا، افعل كذا، ثم يشتغل الجهاز.
The various steps. Do this and this, and then the equipment will start working. So also when it comes to the Islamic knowledge, there is a manual that you have to take step by step. First, you start by memorizing the small chapters of the Quran. And you try to understand their meanings. And then after this, you make sure that the basics of aqidah are firm. And then you need to learn how to make tahara, purification. And then how to perform the prayer. But the reality today is in opposition to this. A person enters into Islam in the morning. In the morning he enters into Islam, and by the time the Maghrib prayer comes, he wants to know about the Ikhwan and about the Tabligh and about this group. This isn't correct. This is not from your affair. Learn the religion of Allah first. Start learning the principles of the religion until your heart is nourished with the knowledge of Islam. And therefore the first aim is knowledge. Ilm. All of us have to be focused and striving upon knowledge. And knowledge will not come to you until you go to knowledge. And when should I come?
زمان وزمان.
Every now and again?
أم كل زمان.
Or all the time?
أطلب العلم كل زمان.
You have to be seeking knowledge all the time.
وأنت في القطار تقرأ.
Even when you are on the train, you read. And you're on the airplane, you're always listening. And you're in the car, you're listening. Even when you're eating, you're revising knowledge-based issues with your companions and your friends. You will not be able to acquire and attain knowledge except through this way. As for knowledge being reserved for a time in which you're not paying attention, then knowledge will never come. In the summer, seek knowledge. A person says it's too warm today. In the morning, in the winter, seek knowledge. It's too cold, I don't want to go and seek knowledge. In spring, go seek knowledge. I want to go out and enjoy myself in spring. In the autumn, go seek knowledge. It's too windy, I can't go. When Ibn Faris said, if the goodness of the spring is going to delay you, and the wind of the autumn is also going to prevent you. And also the coldness of winter. And if the warmth or the hotness of summer is going to hurt you. And also the autumn, the cold, the wind of the
winter.
And also the cold of the winter. He said, if the goodness of the beauty of spring is going to prevent you and make you lazy. And if the severity of the warmth of the summer is going to harm you and prevent you. And if the wind of the autumn is going to prevent you. And if the cold of the winter is going to prevent you, then tell me when. When are you going to seek knowledge? So this way isn't correct. You have to be seeking knowledge in every situation. Your time should be precious and valuable. Do not allow time to pass you except that you are benefiting. And for this reason, the ulama, the people of knowledge, the scholars to read a lot in their time. And for this reason, amongst the scholars were those that in a single day he would teach 14 different lessons. And maybe in a single day he would read more than a book. Or maybe he writes more than a book. Or maybe he memorized the Quran very quickly. They didn't use to waste their time. But today, the time which we waste is too much. A person comes and he is lying on his back in his house. What are you doing? Nothing, I've got nothing to do, I'm occupied. Is there a Muslim who doesn't have anything to do? And Allah said that when you have free time, then strive in worship. The Muslim in his life, there is nothing such as free time which is unoccupied. Rather, he reads, he listens, he makes dhikr and remembers Allah, he's always thinking and contemplating. He acts and he implements all throughout his life. The Muslim is always acting. As for a Muslim or as for a person having time in which he is not benefiting, this person is not a Muslim. From the affair of a Muslim is that he is always using and preoccupying his time. With remembrance, with reading, with seeking knowledge, with listening to knowledge, with revising knowledge.
Abu Hatim al-Razi, Muhammad ibn Idris ismu,
and his name is Muhammad ibn Idris. He was very focused on his time. Never used to waste his time. He used to always read. Even when he entered into the toilet, He used to enter into the toilet. And he used to say to his son, read, but read with a loud voice. Because I'm going to listen to you and benefit from you. It is mentioned regarding one of the people of knowledge, Abu Wafa al-Aqil, that he was also, he used to value his time. Bread. He didn't used to eat the bread whilst it was still fresh and soft. He used to leave the bread until it became hardened. And then after it became hardened, he used to make it into a powder and then quickly take it in. People said to him, why? And he said, when the people asked him, why are you crushing the bread and eating the bread? He said, I have calculated the time between eating the bread fresh and when I make it into smaller pieces is a time in which I can memorize 50 ayah. So do not waste your time. Seek knowledge all throughout your life. And never belittle yourself. When I say to you, you be like Ibn Taymiyyah. You say me? Yes, you. What prevents you? Was Ibn Taymiyyah was from the angels? But rather he was a man, a human like you. And he also was a young boy like you. But he sought knowledge. Ibn Wardi said, Do not ever say that the scholars have departed. Whoever starts on the journey will reach there. So you have to follow the journey of Ibn Taymiyyah. And you will be like him. This religion, there will always remain for this religion people who will aid and carry the religion up until Yawm al-Qiyamah. So do not belittle yourself, but strive hard in seeking knowledge. When I said to you that the student of knowledge, he has to know the steps in seeking knowledge, I'll tell you about two things. The first matter, you should be reading the biographies of the previous scholars. Sheikh Abdulaziz ibn Baz, rahimullah, how did he used to read? What did he used to read? What did he study? His biography and his life.
Sheikh Nasruddin al-Albani, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Uthaymeen, al-ulama.
So the scholars, Sheikh al-Albani ibn Uthaymeen, the scholars.
Al-ulama al-wahid.
Especially the first early scholars.
Ibn Taymiyyah, al-Imma min qablihi, al-Darqutni, Khudma al-Ulama, Imam Ahmad, al-Shafi'i, Malik, al-Ulama min qabl.
The scholars who came before, like Ibn Taymiyyah, and those who came before him, like Darqutni, and Imam Ahmad, and Imam Shafi'i, and Imam Malik, all of these previous early scholars, read a lot about their lives and their life stories. Because then you will understand what was the manner or the way in which they sought knowledge. And then you traverse upon their steps, following their steps. And then the result is like that result. So first of all, memorize this advice, act upon this advice. The second advice is, read the books of the etiquettes of seeking knowledge. And there are many books regarding the etiquettes of seeking knowledge. And from the good, simple, concise books which are contemporary, is the book by Sheikh Bakr ibn Zayd, rahimullah, and it's in English called The Adornments of the Student of Knowledge. Because it's a very good book. It teaches you how to interact with knowledge. How do I interact and deal with a book? How do I interact with my colleague? How do I interact with my sheikh? Which things should I avoid so knowledge doesn't leave me? If you read this book and you really understand this book properly, then go forth. and go seek knowledge. So this was the first عين, the عين of knowledge, علم. As for the second عين, it is a عمل, the عين of righteous actions.
إياكم والكسل.
Be aware and be cautious of ever being lazy.
قرأنا.
We've read.
درسنا.
We've studied.
سمعنا خطب جمعة.
We're listening to the Friday sermons.
حضرنا دروس.
We're attending the lessons.
قرأنا كتب.
We've read all the books.
أين العمل؟
But where are the actions? There has to be actions. We have to implement the worship of Allah in ourselves. We have to be ubad. We have to be worshippers of Allah. We have to call to Allah. Teach. And a person says, how can I teach? I'm just a student of knowledge. Can I be teaching as a student of knowledge? Yes. You're a student of knowledge and you are a teacher at the same time. What should I teach? Teach what you have learned. You know the meaning of La ilaha illallah? Teach the people the meaning of La ilaha illallah. So all of you are scholars and people of knowledge. Do you know how to pray? How many rak'at is dhuhr? Four rak'at. He has knowledge. He knows that dhuhr is four rak'at. Now teach your friends that dhuhr is four rak'at. And above every person of knowledge is the one who is the most knowledgeable. So you are a scholar or you are a person of knowledge according to the level of knowledge which you have. So learn or teach that which you know. But do not say regarding Allah that which you do not know. I'm not saying to you that give fatwa and rulings regarding halal and haram. Because you don't have knowledge regarding this. But you know the five pillars of Islam. What are the five pillars of Islam? The five pillars of Islam. As-salah. The first one. Shahada that la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammad Rasulullah, well done. As-salah, as-zakah.
Hadi arkan Islam.
Psalm, Hajj. These are the five pillars of Islam.
Hadi al-ilm, idha anta araftahu, alim ukhtik.
So this knowledge, if you know this knowledge, teach your sister. Come, my mother, these are the five pillars of Islam. According to the level of your knowledge, teach. And that which you do not know, do not talk about. If you start teaching what you know, then that knowledge becomes firm in yourself. Because knowledge will never become firm and stable in yourself until we learn and we teach and we revise with each other. So therefore, Islam is given victory by knowledge and actions. Worship are actions. Calling and conveying the message of Allah is actions. Calling to that which is correct and forbidding the evil is actions. Refuting those who have opposed Islam is actions. Also, seeking knowledge is actions. Therefore, we have to act. The third عين is the عين of عدل, justice. Do not oppress anybody. We do not live upon this earth as isolated individuals. You have a wife.
أبناء.
You have children.
أصدقاء.
You have friends.
مسلمين.
Some Muslims.
غير مسلمين.
Others are not Muslim.
كن عدل.
You have to be just.
والعدل هو الرحمة.
And justice is mercy.
حتى غير المسلم.
Even towards the non-Muslims.
لا تظلمهم.
Do not ever oppress them.
عاملوا بالعدل.
Rather interact with them with justice.
الظلم لا يجوز.
Because oppression is not allowed.
فَلَا يَنْتَصْرُ الْإِسْلَامِ إِلَّا إِذَا رَأَ مِنَّ النَّاسِ بِأَنَّنَا أَهْلُ عَدْلٍ.
Islam will never gain ascendancy, authority and victory unless people see from us that we are a people of justice.
لذلك أنا أقول كثيراً في كثير من المحاضرات هنا وفي فرنسا وفي غيرها.
And for this reason, I always mention in my lectures here and in France and other places.
إذا كنت أنا غير مسلم.
That if I am a non-Muslim.
وأنت مسلم.
And you are a Muslim.
أنا أراك أنت إسلام.
I see you as being Islam.
أنت محمد.
You are Muhammad.
إذا أحسنت.
If you do well.
أحسن الإسلام.
Islam is doing well.
إذا أسأت.
If you do bad,
Islam
is the one who is doing bad. If you do something which is good, it was Muhammad who did it good. But if you do something which is bad, it was Muhammad who did it bad. So fear Allah. Have taqwa of Allah. Islam should not be insulted due to your actions. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should not be insulted by the people due to your actions. You are in a country in which there are Muslims and many non-Muslims. So therefore show, illustrate to the non-Muslims the beauty and the goodness of Islam. You abiding by the laws. This is also victory for Islam. That Islam, it appreciates, it recognizes laws. You adhering to general good common manners. Smiling. Serving and aiding others. Asking about a person who is ill. Always giving gifts and presents. These are good manners. They will love you. And therefore they will love the religion which has taught you these things. Allah the Most High, He said regarding Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam,
وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ.
Allah said regarding His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have not sent you except as a mercy to all of mankind. And we also. Allah has sent us with the very same thing which He sent the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We establish the religion of the Prophet. And therefore be avenues of mercy towards the rest of creation. Be merciful towards the creation. Be focused on them. Love goodness and want goodness for them. Just like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whoever errs regarding you or takes one of your rights, pardon and forgive them. If you see a person in need, go help him. Or at least show him a person who can help him. The people will never love your religion until they love you. And therefore this is the third aim, the aim of adl, justice. And Islam is a religion of justice with every person who is around us. Six things. Justice between us and between Allah. The person who commits a shirk, he worships other than Allah, has fallen into oppression. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I have forbidden oppression between me and my slaves.
Allah Azza wa Jalla an Luqman, Ya bunayya la tushrik billah inna ash-shirka la dhulmun 'azim.
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said regarding Luqman al-Hakim, when he said to his son, O my son, do not ascribe partisans to Allah, do not do shirk. Why? Because a shirk is the greatest form of oppression. And therefore Allah has forbidden oppression to occur between the slave and the Lord. And then the second thing is that Allah has forbidden oppression to take place between a Muslim and another Muslim. And Allah has forbidden dhulm, oppression, the third thing to take place between a Muslim and a non-Muslim. Even if he is a non-Muslim.
Allah
the Most High said,
إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّوا الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا وَإِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ أَن تَحْكُمُوا بِالْعَدْلِ. إِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ لَن يَقُلْ بَيْنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ عُمُمًا أَن تَحْكُمُوا بِالْعَدْلِ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that Allah orders you to fulfill your trusts and fulfill your contracts with the people. And when you judge between the people, then you are just. And Allah didn't say between the Muslims. He said between the people.
وَيَقُولُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَن لَّا تَعْدِلُوا اعْدِلُوا هُوَ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَى نَحْنُ مَأْمُورُونَ بِالْعَدْلِ مَعَ كُلِّ أَحَدٍ.
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, Do not allow transgression from a group of people to cause you to turn away from justice. Be just. This is closer to taqwa, to piety.
الرابع.
And then the fourth matter of adl, of justice, is
ظلم الكافر للكافر. ظلم الكافر للكافر.
A non-Muslim oppressing another non-Muslim.
فالله عز وجل لا يقبل الظلم.
Allah does not accept oppression.
وسوف ينتصر للمظلوم حتى ولو كان كافر.
And Allah will aid the one who is oppressed, even if he is a non-Muslim.
الخامس.
And the fifth.
ظلم الإنسان للبهيمة.
Is a human being oppressing an animal.
هم يدعون هناك مرطمات لحق الحيوان.
نعم.
نحن مسلمون نعرف هذا الحق.
Here in the West, there are certain laws which protect the rights of the animals. We Muslims, we also have laws.
النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
رأى رجل قد كوى أو أحرق وجه دابة.
The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. He saw a man who had cauterized or burnt with an iron rod the face of cattle or a cow. And the Prophet said, may the curse of Allah be a person who does this. And the Prophet ﷺ told us how Allah punished a woman because of a single cat. Because this woman, she imprisoned the cat. Neither did she give it any food, and neither did she allow the cat to roam free and eat. And this shows us that oppressing even the animals is not allowed. And Allah, the sixth form of oppression which Allah has forbidden is the oppression of an animal to another animal. Don't think that Allah is forgetful or negligent. A cat, if it transgresses on another cat, or if a bird oppresses another bird, or sheep or cattle oppress another sheep or cattle, then Allah is not forgetful or negligent. Because Allah told us this. Allah said, do not consider Allah to be forgetful or negligent over what the oppressors are doing. And for this reason, the Prophet ﷺ informed us that on the day of resurrection, Allah will He will judge between two sheep or between two goats. In the dunya, the two horns. The one which had two horns and the one which did not have any horns. The one which had two horns, it hit the head of the one which did not have horns. But on the day of resurrection, the one which did not have horns, Allah will make for it horns. And the one which had horns, then Allah will take it away. And then it will take its right. Because Allah does not accept oppression. Even between animals. And the last عين is the عين of
العقل.
Is the عين of عقل, intelligence. And the meaning of intelligence, or the meaning of العقل, is having the correct etiquettes and the correct morals and ethics. Good manners. The scholars, they were never deficient regarding this issue. In Sahih Bukhari,
كتاب الأدب.
There is the book of etiquettes. And also Imam Bukhari has a separate book which is different to Sahih Bukhari called Al-Adab Al-Mufrad.
Sahih Muslim.
Also in Sahih Muslim,
كتاب الأدب والاستخدام.
There is a book of manners and seeking permission.
في السنن الأربعة كلها.
In all of the four books of the Sunnah, Tirmidhi, والنسائي, Abu Dawud, and Ibn Majah,
كتب الأدب.
There are chapters or books of adab. So the scholars, they place a lot of importance to manners and etiquette. And the Prophet ﷺ was the best of the people when it came to manners and morals. And may Allah reward him on our behalf. Because the Prophet ﷺ, he disciplined us and he taught us manners. He disciplined us. He taught us manners. He taught us how to eat. He taught us how to drink. He taught us how the etiquettes of sleeping. And he even taught us how we should answer the call of nature in the toilet. He told us the etiquettes of dealing and interacting with an old person and a young person and a woman, a man, the guest, the neighbor, the enemy. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us and gave us the most perfect amount of etiquettes. And Allah said regarding His Prophet, indeed you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are upon lofty etiquette and manners. You are a Muslim. And therefore you have to learn etiquettes. Manners when it comes to speaking. Manners when it comes to walking. Manners when it comes to dealing and interacting with the people. In everything. This is the most perfect and complete religion. And if you are a person of etiquettes and ethics, then the people will love you. And then you will illustrate Islam with the best form possible. And the books regarding etiquettes and manners are many. I mentioned to you just now, Sahih Bukhari has a chapter in it called Kitab al-Adab. And also Imam Bukhari wrote another book regarding etiquettes and manners.
Adab al-Mufrad.
And also Imam al-Tirmidhi, he wrote a book called Al-Shama'il al-Muhammadiyya, the characteristics of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Al-Adab ibn Abi Shaybah.
And also Ibn Abi Shaybah has a book called Al-Adab, Manners and Etiquettes.
Al-Adab al-Bayhaqi.
And also Adab, written by Al-Bayhaqi. And many scholars have written many books regarding etiquettes.
Nathran wa shi'ran.
Whether it was poetry or whether it was prose. And I advise the brothers in this institute that we should teach our young, we should teach our students, we should teach the common Muslims manners and etiquettes just like we teach them Tawheed. Abdullah ibn Mubarak said, that we learned manners and etiquettes before we learned knowledge by 40 years. So some of us, have to teach manners to the others. Teach them manners, discipline them. Because if we discipline our students, if we teach them manners, they will be good to us and they will not be bad to us. But if we don't discipline our students, we don't teach them good manners, then a day will come in which our very students are turning against us because they haven't learned etiquette. So therefore we have to have lessons. The father with his children. What did Luqman do with his son? He said, "Oh my son, oh my son," and then he gave him various pieces of advice. And what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say to Abdullah ibn Abbas? He said, "Oh young boy, I'm going to teach you some words." And when Umar ibn Abi Salama, and he came and he wanted to eat with the Prophet. And he was a young boy. And his left hand he put it forward to eat. And he wanted to take the food from in front of another person. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he held his hand. He said, "Oh young boy, first mention the name of Allah. Meaning say Bismillah, and then eat with your right hand, and eat from the food which is near you. Don't eat the food of another person." Look, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam disciplined him, taught him manners whilst he was a very young boy. Al-Hasan or Al-Hussein, they wanted to eat from the wealth of charity. Just a single date. And the family of the Prophet, they are not allowed to eat from charity. So there was a date which had fallen down. And Al-Hussein and Al-Hasan, they took this date. Yet, a young boy, a child. And was about to eat it. And the Prophet said, don't eat, stop. Because sadaqah, charity, is not given to the family of Muhammad. Therefore, upon the fathers, is that they should not stop or be negligent in advising and counseling and admonishing their children. Why? Because Because the son, he learns manners.
وإذا جاء عمره أربعين سنة.
And when this son grows old and he becomes 40 years old,
ماذا يقول الابن؟
What will the son say?
كان أبي يقول لي.
He will always mention, my father used to say to me.
كان أبي يقول لي.
My father used to always say to me.
ما أجملها من عبارة.
And how beautiful a statement this is.
أن ينقل الأبناء وصايا الآباء.
That the sons, they narrate the advice and the admonishment of their fathers.
ولذلك أبو الوليد الباجي.
And for this reason, Abu al-Walid al-Baji, he has a very beautiful advice and admonishment which he gave to his two sons. And also al-Makhzumi, he has a written admonishment, a counsel which he gave to his sons. And I've explained this admonishment or this advice of al-Makhzumi to his sons in Kuwait a couple of months ago, and it's available on YouTube. And also Abu Ishaq al-Albiri. He has a beautiful advice which he wrote for his son. And the Shaykh has also explained this, and it's available on YouTube. And also Ibn al-Jawzi. He has a written counsel, admonishment, and advice which he wrote for his son. And Shaykh Hussain Taymiyyah. In this book, there is a risala called Al-Wasiyya al-Sughra. A student from the students of Ibn Taymiyyah.
Abu al-Qasim al-Tajibi.
No. His student, Shaykh named him. He said to Abu Taymiyyah, Rahimullah, write for me a piece of advice. And Ibn Taymiyyah wrote this advice to him. So it isn't something which is deficient in you that you advise your son. You take him with his hand. You take him by his hand and say, listen to me, my son. If you come to an elderly person, kiss their head. And do not walk in front of me. Unless you want to bring my shoes for me. Oh my son, do this and this so the son learns this. You have to nourish your children, nourish your sons with manners and etiquette. Because they are your seeds. So if you cultivate your children properly, then they will grow up properly. But if you don't cultivate your children properly and give them the right nourishment, then they will not grow properly.
أسأل الله عز وجل لي ولكم التوفيق والسداد. وأنا سعيد بلقائكم وبالود أن أتكلم معكم أكثر وأكثر. ولكن لعل هذه المذاكرة تعتبر كالأنس بكم قبل الإفطار.
The Sheikh said that, you know, I would love to sit with you longer and longer and talk. But perhaps in these few words, there's some, you know, socializing and there's some comfort before iftar comes in. And if, I don't know where the prophet is, if there's time for iftar, before iftar, there's questions. You are the people who decide. And I am in your hands. So if you kill, then kill well. If you sacrifice, sacrifice properly. Like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Is there sisters as well? If sisters have questions, they can also write and send their questions. No. So,
there's a question, but it doesn't relate to the topic. That's okay.
No. في سؤال ليس متعلق بالمحاضرة فهو يستأذن.
لا بس.
There is some people in a poor country when we want to give zakat to them, but they're saying that with the money of the zakat, we'd like to build a house. Build us a house rather than give the money. Is that permissible?
I know. We're not أناس أهل الزكاة أهل الزكاة. وهم يعطونهم مال لكنهم يطلبون لا تبقي من المال ابني لنا بيت بهذا المال لأن المال لا نستفيد منه ذاتيا نحتاج بيت بهذا المال فهل يجوز لنا أن نبني لهم بيتا بدل أن نعطيهم المال؟
لا إذا هم قالوا ذلك فلا أما إذا هم لم يقولوا ذلك فالمال أولى لهم لأنهم يعرفون حاجتهم.
The poor people, they are the ones who know and they understand their own needs. So if they say to you that build us a house with this money you're going to give us, then yes. But if they don't say this, then the money should be given to them, the money itself.
No.
في جدة. جدة عن مكة تبقى سفر بارك الله فيك. والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: لا يحل لامرأة تؤمن باليوم بالله واليوم الآخر أن تسافر إلا مع ذي محرم. فلا تسافر.
The brother, he asks a question that there is a sister in Jeddah, in the city of Jeddah, who doesn't have a mahram with her. And she wants to perform Hajj. So how does she perform Hajj? And the Shaykh Hafizahullah, he said that in Saudi Arabia, the distance between Jeddah and Mecca is considered a journey. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, it is not permitted for a woman who believes in Allah on the final day and the last day to undertake a journey without a mahram. So she doesn't make Hajj. She doesn't need to make Hajj. وتأخيره أو يكون يوميا
قصده كفارة فدية لا تسمى فدية إلا دم في الحرم لكن قصده كفارة الصيام
فدية is only the animal which is sacrificed in the days of Hajj. We talk about كفارة the كفارة فاسد
ونيم كفارة ليس اسمها فدية
it's called كفارة not فدية
كفارة الصوم يعني المريض لا يستطيع أن يصوم
for example an ill person who can't fast he gives a كفارة
هو يسأل عن الكفارة
هو في لغتنا
أي نفس هو هذه الكفارة كفارة لها ثلاث حالات إما أن تقدمها دفعة واحدة وإما أن تؤخرها دفعة واحدة وإما أن تفرقها كل يوم بيوم كلها صحيحة لا بأس
With regards to the kafara which the brother was asking about, i.e. an ill person is not able to fast, so he has to give money to feed the poor people. There's three things you can do with this kafara. Either you can give all of it, for example, 30 days right at the beginning. Or you can give all of it in one go right at the end. Or you can give it day by day and all of this is committed.
بمقدار هذا تخرج صدقه تعطيها كم تعطيها مسكين واحد اسرتين تعطيها 60 مسكين تعطيها 100 مسكين لا بأس
the amount of people you give to doesn't matter what's important is that the amount that should be given is given whether it's given to one person or two people or two families or 60 people but the correct amount has to be given الأخ يسأل أحسن الله إليكم هل يصح هل تصح الصلاة خلف من خلف إمام يعتقد أن الله في كل مكان؟
لا بد وجه التحقق من معنى مراد هذا الشخص لا بد التحقق فإن كان يعتقد حقيقة أنه الله في كل مكان فلا يصلى لكن تأكد هل هو فعلا يقول بذلك لأن هناك من الناس من لا يفهم هذا الأمر ويتهم الناس بغير حق هذا لا يجوز
First of all,
لكن ما تتأكدت بأنه يقر بأن الله تعالى في كل مكان فهذا مخالف للقرآن والسنة والإجماع والعقل
First of all, you have to check, make sure and verify that this Imam actually is saying this. This is his actual belief. Because some people who don't understand, they accuse people of having certain beliefs and that person doesn't have that belief. And that person doesn't really understand. So first, verify, check, investigate. Does he actually say this? Does he really believe this? If you know for absolute certainty that yes, this Imam believes that Allah is in every place, then this person is not prayed behind. Why? Because a person who believes that Allah is in every place has gone against, he has opposed the Quran, he has opposed the Sunnah, he has opposed the Ijma', the agreement of all of the scholars, and he has even opposed the intellect. So this person is not prayed behind. الأخ السائل يسأل الشخص ظلمك وأخذ حقك، يعني هل عليك أن تعفوه؟
لك حق أن تطالب بحقك، لك الحق أن تطالب بحقك، ولكن لو سألتني أيهما أفضل؟ الأفضل هو العفو، ولكن لك الحق أن تطالب بحقك، ليس هناك كلام، هذا حق لك أنت، لك الحق أن تطالب به، لكن لو عفوت عنه فجزاك الله خيرا ولك الأجر. والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال، الله تعالى يقول إن الله والكاظمين الغيظ والعافين عن الناس، من الذين يحبهم الله عز وجل، قال والكاظمين الغيظ والعافين عن الناس، ويقول النبي عليه السلام لا يزداد العبد بعفو إلا عزا، يعزك الله عز وجل.
The brother he asks that when it comes to pardoning and forgiving people, if somebody oppresses you and he takes your right, then should we just pardon that person, forgive that person? And the Shaykh Hafidhullah, he said that as for your right, you have a right to demand your right back. The right which was taken from you, it's your right, you are justified in demanding it back. But if you ask me which one of the two is better, is it better for me to get my revenge and take my right back, or I should pardon and forgive, then it is better to pardon and forgive and Allah rewards you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when He spoke about those people who He loves, He said, وَالْكَالِمِينَ الْغَيْضِ, those people who hide their anger, وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ, and those people who pardon the people. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whenever a person increases in his forgiveness, his tolerance and his pardoning, Allah raises him, Allah makes him greater.
لا، يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، الأخ يسأل، يقول الشخص إذا كان وقع في معصية وهذه المعصية عليها عقوبة شرعية كحد مثل الزنا مثلا، فيها حد جلد أو رجم أو مثل غير ذلك من الذنوب التي فيها عقوبة شرعية، هل إذا تاب لابد أن يعود إلى يقام عليه الحد أم لا؟ الجواب لا. يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، من أصاب منكم قاذورة من هذه القاذورات، أي معصية من هذه المعاصي، فليستتر عنا بستر الله. فإذا وقع الإنسان في معصية يبقى في ستر الله ولا يخبر أحد، ويستغفر الله ويتوب بينهم للرب ولا يخبر أحد، إلا إذا كان حق لمسلم، إذا كان لك حق قد أخذه من قبل يرد الحق إلى أهله.
The brother, he asks regarding a person who committed a sin or an action which has an Islamic punishment attached to it. Like for example, the punishment of adultery or the punishment of drinking alcohol and so on and so forth. If a person then seeks repentance, does he then have to go to the Islamic ruler and request for the punishment to be taken out upon him? And the Shaykh Hafidhullah said no. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, whoever falls into one of these impurities, meaning these sins, then conceal it with the concealment of Allah. I conceal it from us and make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Seek repentance from Allah. Unless it is a right which you have taken from a person, then you have to return that right.
One false thing
does not pay, what's your situation with false thing? Man sama wa lam yusalli, hal yuqbal sawmuhu.
Man sama wa lam yusalli, la yuqbal sawmuhu. فالصلاة شرط في صحة الإسلام، ولا إسلام لمن لا صلاة له، فلا دين لمن لا صلاة له. أي إسلام؟ يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بني الإسلام، يقول عموده الصلاة، رأس الأمر التوحيد والإسلام، وعموده الصلاة. إذا سقط عمود البيت هل يبقى البيت؟ لا يبقى البيت، فلا دين لمن لا صلاة له، فلا بد أن يصلي حتى يقبل منه الصوم.
A person who fasts but he doesn't pray, is his fast accepted? And the Shaykh Hafidhullah said that his fast is not accepted, because there is no fasting for a person who does not pray. The prayer is a condition for the validity of a person's religion. What kind of Islam is this? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, رَأْسُ الْأَمْرِ الْإِسْلَامِ, that the peak of the matter or the head of the matter, it is Islam, i.e. التوحيد. وَعُمُودُهُ, an exporting pillar is the prayer. When the supporting pillar is removed, the whole house, it's falls down and it is demolished. So a person who fasts, his fast is not accepted if his prayer is not there. There is no religion for a person who does not pray. ويقول في رسالة الآن تنتشر في الواتساب تحث الناس على إنفاق جنيه واحد كل ليلة وإلى صلاة ليلة القدر إذا كان لك يعني ألف.
لا ليس هناك دليل يدل على أن الصدقة تكون في كل ليلة، ولكن النبي عليه السلام كان يكثر من الصدقة في رمضان. وأما تخصيص ليلة القدر بصدقة فإن هذا لا دليل عليه، لأن هذا البيت من رعاية النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، وليلة القدر كذلك مخفية، وفي كل عام يعبث العابثون بالناس ويعطلونهم عن الطاعة ويقولون الليلة ليلة القدر، لا تتكلموا في هذا، اعملوا كل الشهر وقوموا كل الشهر وتصدقوا في كل الشهر، ومن فعل ذلك فإن شاء الله سيدرك ليلة القدر وقيام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا. نعم.
This isn't permitted, and neither is there any justification or any evidence for this. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was generous all the time, he was charitable all the time, and Laylatul Qadr, it isn't known, so we never speak about which night Laylatul Qadr is. But give charity and stand in prayer during Ramadan, and then you will coincide with Ramadan. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever stands in Ramadan with Iman and Ihtisab, with Iman in Allah on the final day and hoping the reward of Allah, his sins will be forgiven. And this is how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, always doing good, always giving in charity.
Allah ta'ala in the ayah atlaqa al-khayriya fi layat al-qadr, qal layat al-qadr khayrun min alf shahr. Lam yakun as-sadaqa fi layat al-qadr khayrun, as-siyam fi al-qiyam, as-salah, lam yuhaddith. الآية مطلقة، فلماذا هم يخصصون الصدقة؟ لماذا لا يقولون درس، قراءة القرآن، صلة رحم بالوالدين؟ لماذا اختاروا الصدقة فقط من بين كل الأعمال الصالحة؟ هذا لا دليل عليه. ليلة القدر ليلة مباركة، العمل فيها إن شاء الله مضاعف، يقوم الإنسان يعمل فيها كما فعل النبي عليه السلام، لم يخصها النبي عليه السلام بعبادة إلا بالقيام. قال من قام ليلة القدر، ما قال من تصدق ليلة القدر، ما قال من زار أباه ليلة القدر، ما قال من أمر المعروف نهي عن المنكر ليلة القدر، لا، خص ذلك بالقيام. نعم.
And every year when Ramadan comes, you get certain people who want to play with the religion of the people and they stop sending these messages out. And these messages are only sent out to stop and prevent the people worshipping Allah properly. And when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about Laylatul Qadr, he kept it unrestricted. He said, the Laylatul Qadr is better than the other nights, or better than 1,000 months, just better, meaning better in everything. He didn't stipulate giving charity. He didn't stipulate, you know, specifically go to your parents to show them obedience on Laylatul Qadr, or be good to your relatives on Laylatul Qadr, or go give da'wah on Laylatul Qadr. He kept it unrestricted and general, all types of goodness on Laylatul Qadr. In fact, the only thing which was restricted was that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man qama, whoever stands in the prayer of Laylatul Qadr. So these people, why do they talk about charity? Why not go study on Laylatul Qadr? Or go read the Quran on Laylatul Qadr? Or go be good to your parents on Laylatul Qadr? Why only charity? We keep it unrestricted, like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept it unrestricted. زكاة أو صدقة، جنر صدقة. يقول هل أفضل إعطاء الصدقة للمسجد، يعني لمسجدك أنت، أم للفقراء؟
إذا كان القصد للفقراء، إذا كان الزكاة صدقة واجبة، والزكاة الواجبة فالزكاة الواجبة تكون في مصاريفها التي بين الله تعالى بقوله إنما الصدقات للفقراء والمساكين، ولم يذكر من بينها المساجد. فتعطي الصدقة الفقير، أنت لنفسك تعطيها الفقير. لكن إن كنت لا تعرف فقيرا وجماعة المسجد أو إدارة المسجد تعرف الفقراء فتعطيها المسجد والمسجد يعطونها الفقراء. أيهما أولى؟ الأولى أنت تعطيها الفقير بيدك حتى يحبك ويدعو لك ويعرف لك الفضل، فتعطيها أنت بيدك حتى يكون بينكم محبة وأخوة. لكن إذا كنت لا تعرف فقيرا فهناك فقراء يأتون عند إدارة المسجد ويشتكون لهم ويقول نحن بحاجة، إذا جاءكم مال أعطونا، فتعطونهم وهم يعطونا هؤلاء المساكين، لا بأس بذلك.
First of all, it depends which type of charity you're talking about. If you're talking about a zakat, the obligatory charity, then this can only be given to those groups of people whom Allah has mentioned. إِنَّمَا صَدَقَاتُ لِلْفُقَرَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ, the ayah. I.e. this obligatory zakat can only be given to the fuqara, the masakin, the poor people, the needy people, and so on and so forth. And the masjid was not mentioned in this ayah. So zakat, which is the obligatory charity, is not given to the masjid. Rather, it is given to the poor people. So if you know a poor person or a person in need, then you physically go and you give this wealth to that person. And if you don't know anybody, then you give it to the masjid, because the masjid will know of poor people. Poor people are always approaching the masjid and saying, look, we're in need and we need of a zakat. And then the masjid can give that money on your behalf. However, it is better for you personally to give your wealth to the poor person. Because when you give your wealth to that poor person, you have a relationship between you and him. He makes dua for you. He has muhabbah, he loves you. There's a relationship between both of you. If you do not know the poor person, then you give it to the masjid and the masjid gives it to the poor people on your behalf. How much time is there left? Three questions, inshallah.
Yeah, this is regarding zakat. This is regarding my husband. I work in a company. They're given shares.
Do you want to ask the sheikh privately, maybe, so we can explain to him your situation?
I think it's generally, it's nothing hidden.
Okay, follow.
It's trying to affect other people also.
Go ahead.
They're given shares which mature after 5 years. But we are given a statement every year what is worth. Because I don't have the money in hand for 5 years, is zakat applicable on those shares every year?
And what do you call shares in Arabic? It's never been asked. Huh? Aslam. هو يقول هو إنه أسهم
أي
كمية أسهم وكل سنة له تقرير أن هذا قيمة الأسهم.
نعم.
لكن الأسهم طبعا يأخذ قيمة بعد 5 سنوات ليس إنه الآن.
يأخذ
قيمة الأسهم.
إيه لا. لكن يزكيها كل سنة. الأسهم يزكيها كل سنة. إذا من كان له مساهمة فالمساهمة ماله دفعته إلى من يتاجر به. فهو مالي عنده قدره كذا جنيه أو كذا دولار أو ما شابه ذلك. فإذا حال الحول وهو عنده يتاجر به وتأتيني أرباح سنوية، أنظر كم قيمة الأسهم في أنا جعلت شهر رمضان مثلا كل سنة أو رأس السنة الميلادية والهجرية، إذا حال الحول أنظر كم قيمة الأسهم. قيمة الأسهم أخرج عليها الزكاة وهي عنده، لأن ستأتيني هو مالي
So the shares is like your money which you have given to somebody, that company, and that company is trading with your money. So therefore the value of these shares, once the full year passes, like for example, let's say the Ramadan is the starting of your year of zakat, and the next year of zakat passes and you have these shares with you, you have to give zakat upon the value of those shares, because that money is going to eventually end up coming to you. So if you know the value of the shares, you give the zakat according to the value of the shares once a full year goes around.
How do you teach your kids to love the salah, love the fasting, love seeking knowledge, and how to also have the best way to get the kids to understand that is the problem?
ما الطريقة المثلى في تعليم الأولاد مسائل التوحيد وكذلك حب الصلاة وحب الصوم وحب التوحيد وحب العلم؟
أولاً عليك بالدعاء.
Firstly, the brother he asked that what is the best way for you to educate your child in understanding the issue of Tawheed and loving the prayer, loving fasting, the Shaykh Hafidhullah, he said the first thing is a dua, supplication. If you are righteous, even if you are righteous, even if you are a prophet, even if you are righteous and a prophet, you don't own or control the rectification, the guidance of your son. So the first thing is dua to Allah. Like the prophets who used to make the dua, as Allah mentions in the Quran, they would say, oh Allah, rectify for us our offspring. And they, the righteous people, the prophets, they used to say, oh Allah, bestow upon us from our wives and our offspring those who will be a delight for the eye. Your sons, your children are your dreams. Your children are your hopes. And this is fulfilled with the supplication. So that your dreams are not wasted and your hopes are not lost, then make a lot of dua. Secondly, you have to be a role model. You first rectify your own self. And when you have rectified yourself, then Allah will rectify for you your offspring. In Surah Al-Kahf.
وكان أبوهما صالحا لما كان أبوهما صالحا حفظ الله أبناءه.
In the story in Surah Al-Kahf, it says, and their father was a righteous man. When their father was a righteous man, then Allah preserved the children and made them righteous.
الأمر الثالث.
The third matter.
الاهتمام بالابن التوصية مباشرة. أنت أوصي.
The third way is that you should attach importance to personally advising your son. You should be the one who personally advises and admonishes and counsels your son. Because your child, your son, is taught by many people today. His friends are teaching him. The street teaches him. The internet teaches him. Facebook and all and games. But you should not be one of these avenues. That they are more than you. No, you should be above all of these avenues. So you're always following him up with his friends. You're checking what he does on the internet. You're checking what he does on the internet, checking what he does on the streets. You have to overlook all of this. Also, from the avenues is that you give him gifts, you give him presents or prizes. When they do something good, you give them a prize, so he loves you. And teaching him, you know, all the time teaching him these advices. And always attaching importance to him whilst he is young. Why? Because when he is young, his heart is clean. His heart is pure, so you be the first one to his heart. Nobody else or nothing else should get to the heart of your child before you get to him. Because when you get to the heart first, the house, it's clean. And you're the one who is going to provide the furniture in this house. But if the other avenues get to his heart before you do, then you won't be able to furnish the house. First, you have to start cleaning his heart and purifying his heart. And then you're going to furnish his heart. So nobody should get to the hearts of your children before you do. And this is what Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qayrawani rahimahullah, this is what he said. كيف يكون سجود التلاوة وأنت في السيارة مسافر؟
أي لا تسجود التلاوة أن تقول مشكلة.
Said while you're driving, don't make sujood.
لا لا. لكن يوم هكذا يقول الشيخ ابن باز السائق لا يسجد سجود التلاوة.
This is what our Sheikh Ibn Baz رحمه الله said, that the one who is driving, there's no sujood التلاوة.
لكن الراكب يسجد.
But the one who is a passenger, he can make sujood to the Allah. Meaning he lowers his head. Nothing on this. Different nationalities. The culture of the Pakistanis and Bengalis is the same. We were asked this question yesterday and previously as well. The Muslims, all of them are equal. And there is no virtue for the Arab or the non-Arab except through piety and taqwa. And if a righteous man finds a righteous woman, then let him marry that woman, whoever she is. And if a righteous person, a man, comes to you seeking the hand of your daughter, accept it.
رأوا أن الزواج من تلك الأسرة أو ذلك أو تلك الجنسية صعب لأمور أخرى فلا بأس أن يمتنع.
But if the father or if the tribe or the nationality they consider that their child marrying from the other tribe is difficult for other reasons, then there's nothing wrong with this. That person doesn't marry.
ربما تكون العادة غير العادة.
Maybe the cultures are different.
أو يخشون أنه إذا تزوجها شخص من بلد آخر أن تتغرب البنت إلى تلك البلد.
Or maybe the father of the girl, he's scared that if this girl ends up marrying from a different city, maybe she'll end up traveling, she's going to be alone, she's going to be isolated.
فيخاف على بنته أو يخاف على ابنه.
So he's scared upon his daughter or his son.
إذا كان بهذا السبب لا مانع.
So if the prevention is from these angles, then there's nothing wrong with this.
أما إذا كان ليرى بأنهم أفضل.
But if he is only preventing this because he thinks I am better, then this is not correct. Because the Muslims, all of them are equal.
جزاكم الله خير وأسأل الله لي ولكم القبول وأن يتقبل صيامنا وأن يغفر لنا جميعا وأن يجعلنا من عباده أنصار دينه. هذا والله أعلم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد.